The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow and welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to feed his fields, and sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against in heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against in heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly and bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called and one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with and prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we have a familiar story, but as it is, stories like this invite us to find our own place. The problem is, I don't know where my place is here. I find myself all over this particular story. First, as a parent with twin boys, I have seen this played out more than a number of times. Let me inform you. One, of course, was the son who is, well, let's just say, less responsible. He would intentionally leave his coat or his books behind and expect that his twin brother would pick up the slack and bring the books home and his coat home to make sure that they were where they needed to be. The two of them were really good at this kind of stuff. The only thing that we are happy about is that they somehow had an unwritten rule, only one kid could be in crisis at a time. That was good for us. We have seen this played out. A younger son, or being twins, it doesn't matter. One of the sons who keeps on going out on his own. And as he would leave, we would think to ourselves, this doesn't look like it's going to end well. And yet off they would go, because they were bound and determined to learn life on their own, even though it would come at a great cost. Gretchen and I would look at each other and, trying to find at least a little bit of humor in the situation, would say to ourselves, apparently he's still in his feeding pig stage. I am happy to report that yesterday, because of and credit kinds of things, and this is what and parents do, I signed a lease on an apartment over here on Aurora, where the building that my son will be moving into has a much better view than my house does. Now, it's an efficiency apartment. It's not much, but it's his. And he is making a change in his life. This is a big deal. He can see his workplace from there. We are all quite excited that perhaps now at the age of 30, things are finally begin to fall into place. Let me tell you, there is celebration going on. That's what you do. The other son has somehow managed to stay employed for a long, long time. Now, he has had a number of jobs, but he has always, through just hard work, managed to find a place for him. Now, he is one who his employers love him because of his dedication and his willingness to make the extra an effort in all of these things. I have both of these sons. At the same time, though, there are times I find myself as one of the sons. Sometimes it is in that situation where I wander off, not paying attention to what I'm doing, and I realize I too need to turn back. I too need a time of Lent. I too need to return to God and say, I wasn't what I thought I was. Will you accept me back? And other times, I find myself as the other son. God, I've been involved in this now for over 30 years. How come I'm not seeing, isn't there at least a little more benefit to this kind of stuff? I'm a church professional here, God. Aren't you impressed by that? Apparently, God is not. He's apparently seen way too many church professionals, if you know what I mean. So, but there are these times that I find myself in all of these characters. Perhaps you do too in some way. But it's interesting, this all comes because tax collectors and sinners, and whatever that means, were coming to Jesus. Now the complaint is that this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. But please note, they weren't coming for the food. They were coming near to listen to Jesus. They recognized that they could find food on their own, but what they could not find were words of hope and love and acceptance and reconciliation. For that, they had to come near to Jesus. This particular story is an example of what God does in Jesus Christ. The younger son has gone off and on his own, and it's absolutely true. The father doesn't know if he's alive or dead. We oftentimes forget that we are so connected that we cannot exist without and pulling out our phones and sending a text to somebody. But there have been times when if this son went to another country, you might never hear from them for a very, very long time. Was he still alive? Had he gotten into some sort of a fix that he couldn't get out of? Was he like the story of the Good Samaritan, and was he overtaken by thieves and bandits? His father didn't know. He was dead. Had no idea if he was even alive. And to look up and see this son coming down the road, he runs out there to meet him, hugs him and embraces him, and instead of waiting for the apology that should have been at least extended first, didn't even wait for that, but calls for the servants to begin the preparation for a celebration. The other son has had it up and up to here. One more time, my stupid brother has screwed things up and now comes back to mom and dad to fix things up. I've been working hard here all of this time and dad doesn't appreciate me and all of this stuff and on and on and on and on. And so he does not go in. He too has taken a journey away. He has separated himself. And what does the father do? He goes out to find that son too. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. This is what God does. He comes to find us. He comes to welcome us back in whatever state we are. Sometimes we are the younger son who has not come to that place yet of recognizing that we have really messed things up. Sometimes we're just sort of wandering through daily life and not paying attention at all. And yet still, God welcomes us back, calls us in order that we might come near to listen to Jesus. Paul understood this. He understood what it was to be both the dedicated one who is going to make sure that God's ways were kept in line, even if it meant dragging off Christians so they could be thrown in jail. He also saw him one as one who needed to return to God, to repent. All this is from God, he says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. When he says you, he is referring to those who gather as Christians in that community in Corinth. He is saying, yes, reconciliation is not a one and done thing. It is a process. It continues. It is always both in something that needs to be done and something that is being accomplished. That in God we find true hope and reconciliation. Tomorrow we will need it again, and God will offer it. This is a ministry of ongoing love that is not restricted by anything. And all of us, in whatever place in the story we find ourselves, and perhaps a few others that haven't been written down, we too can come near to listen to Jesus and find that in him, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself. Amen.